Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Dion Gordon Podcast. I'm your host, the connoisseur of common sense, the purveyor of authenticity, showing much flex when it's time to wreck a mic, pimping hoes and clocking a grip like my name was Dolomite. Dion Tyree Gordon, enough of the bullshit, let's get to work. So earlier today, I'm watching the Dave Chappelle comedy special on YouTube. Dave Chappelle, of course, the greatest comedian of all time, the GOAT, one of our great black leaders, one of the greatest truth tellers of all time. I'm watching this Dave Chappelle comedy special. He's talking about how it's so hard nowadays to entertain people. It's, the current climate in this country is so sensitive, so politically correct, that even the greatest comedian of all time, Dave Chappelle, finds it difficult to entertain people nowadays because he's afraid of what he can and cannot say. He doesn't know what's going to be offensive or what's not going to be offensive. And he's telling the story about how he was doing a set years ago, back when he was still doing Chappelle's show. And he said he noticed a couple in the front row was that sitting there enjoying the show. And Dave describes this couple, describes the woman as being obviously Asian. You can see it in her face, Dave's words. And describes the man in the couple, the husband, the boyfriend, I guess, as being somewhere between Mexican and Bangladesh. You really can't tell what these motherfuckers, Dave also said. And he said the guy was enjoying the set. He was laughing. He was having a good time and everything. And the woman who was sitting there was making meme mugs, ice grills, screw faces. She was not enjoying it. She was scowling at Dave Chappelle during this comedy special to the point where he thought that he was offending her, because as Dave's become notorious in recent years during his stand-up comedy sets to smoke a cigarette on stage. And he thought the cigarette that he was smoking was upsetting her because she may or may not have been pregnant. Dave continues to smoke. Continues to tell jokes anyway. She gets upset. Dave starts talking to her. And Dave says, "Is there, ma'am, I want to ask you a question. Where are you from?" And she says, "For your information, I'm from California." You know, in a real condescending, arrogant way. "I'm from California. My ethnicity is Asian." Then he asks the boyfriend, "Where are you from?" And the guy says, "Bro, I'm Mexican." So Dave Chappelle says to this Asian woman, to this Mexican man, he says, "Ma'am, I want to apologize if I've offended you, but one thing's for certain, you and him will have the hardest working child known to man." And the crowd erupts with laughter. Everyone's going crazy. He says she got upset and walked out. And that was the end of the night for her. She was done with the show. But I thought it was interesting to hear the greatest comedian of all time, the greatest comedian of our generation, that's for certain, lament about the fact that he has a hard time entertaining people nowadays because he doesn't know what he can say and what he can't say. Dave Chappelle doesn't know what he can get away with and what he can't get away with. Brings me to the topic of conversation, the topic of discussion on this particular episode of the Dion Gordon Podcast. Two words accurately describe why Dave Chappelle has a difficult time telling jokes nowadays and why everyone else has a difficult time telling jokes and entertaining people and doing anything creative. Two words describe that: cancel culture. Cancel culture has definitely been in the news lately, whether you're talking about Pepe Le Pew being pulled from Space Jam, whether you're talking about Dr. Seuss books, whether you're talking about the assumed gender of a childhood toy fashioned as a potato, Mr. Potato Head, whether you're talking about old Eminem lyrics, whether you're talking about Lola Bunny also in Space Jam not being as attractive to some demographic of the population as she was in the original Space Jam. I don't know who gets off on sexualizing and fetishizing animated cartoon fictional rabbits, but that's not me. But apparently some folks are upset about that. A lot of people on both sides of the argument are upset about everything. This is a country we live in nowadays where everyone's mad about something. Everyone has a platform to express their anger over whatever they're mad about, whether it be social media, television, viral clips, YouTube, podcasts like this one. People can get on any platform they choose and voice their displeasure with something that's bothering them, whether it be something that happened recently or something that happened 30 years ago. This newfound phenomenon of being retroactively pissed off is something I just don't understand. I have people out there, I don't know, I guess you can call them social justice warriors, or I call them bitch-ass motherfuckers. They're easily offended, they're easily hurt, they're easily sent, they're very much sensitive, who apparently have too much time on their hands, will go investigate a song from 30 years ago, a scene from a movie from 30 years ago, a certain picture, a certain gesture. It could be anything under the sun that will upset and trigger some people to stage a online boycott and try to cancel a certain entertainment figure over some stupid bullshit. This is a country of just soft, lame-ass people. People are mad and upset about anything and everything. You got to watch how you address people nowadays. I felt in my entire life. I've always been the type of person that I just say things. I have no filter. I have a dirty, warped sense of humor. I say pretty much everything under the sun is funny. Everything can be joked about to me. I don't feel like anything's off limits except for, like, you know, something personal about someone that, you know, like a death in their family or something like that. But anything else, depending on what you say and how you phrase it and how you portray it, anything can be funny. And with me being the kind of person I am, especially now that I have a podcast, I very much firmly object to censorship of any kind. I don't think it benefits us as a society to stifle someone's creative output. I don't think it makes any sense to tell someone what they can and can't say, to water down and neuter entertainment in any capacity. I don't think it hurts. I do think it hurts. I don't think it helps anyone. To me, it is very much audacious to tell someone how to think and what to say and tell them what they can't say and can't believe in. Just because you have your own ideals and beliefs doesn't mean everyone else does. It goes on both sides. You have people on the far left who are super woke. A lot of people in this country are too woke. I would suggest going to sleep. Take a fucking nap. You have the people in this country who are so woke and so self-aware, they don't want anyone to have fun. They don't want you to joke around about certain things. If it offends you, if it upsets you, if you're watching a movie that offends you, just turn the movie off. TV show, same thing. Change the fucking channel. If a hip-hop record is made that offends you on some levels, don't listen to the record. But to tell people what they can and cannot say, to me, is audacious, selfish, condescending, arrogant, and just overall bullshit. This country we're in right now is, like, so sensitive. You got to watch what you say around everyone. And like I said before, I've been on a much smaller level victim of it. I'm going to go on the limb right now. I'll predict that in the future, I will be the victim of cancel culture. I'm calling it right now. I'm looking into a crystal ball. The clairvoyant Dion Gordon sees himself 4, 5, 6 years from now, looking at his phone, looking at social media, and seeing a hashtag cancel Dion Gordon. I see that happening right now. That says two things. Number one, I expect this podcast to be successful. Number two, I expect to still live in a bitch-ass society full of soft, lame, sensitive motherfuckers who can't handle someone who disagrees with them. That's what I expect to see. I think it's only going to get progressively worse. I could definitely see someone digging in the crates, looking at some of my old podcasts, just searching with a fine-tooth comb to find something offensive I said. It shouldn't be too hard. I'll help these people out. The people 5 years from now are going to try to cancel me. I'll go ahead and help you out. Go back and listen to my video game podcast where I said that a woman who, on a different podcast, on the See the Thing Is podcast, I joked about a woman who said she had been with 10 men who played video games, and all 10 of those men were poor performers in bed. The joke I made about her, the comment I made about her was, if you've been with 10 guys who only play video games, imagine all the other guys you've been with who don't play video games. So you're basically telling everyone you're a whore and your vagina has been stretched out further than a yoga mat. Someone will go back and listen to that podcast and hear me say that a woman's vagina is stretched out further than a yoga mat and say I'm a chauvinist, misogynist, woman-hating piece of shit. Cancel Dion Gordon. He hates women. Fuck him. Get him off the airwaves. Get him off TV. Do whatever you got to do. I already see this happening. 5 years from now, 4 years from now, 3 years from now, sometime in the future, cancel Dion Gordon will be trending all over social media because he made some comment about a woman's vagina being stretched out further than a yoga mat, about her pussy's beat the shit and looks like a catcher's mitt, and she needs to go to Dick's Sporting Goods and buy a new baseball glove. I can see it happening because we got people in this country who have too much time on their hands and will search with a fine-tooth comb, dig in the crates, and find something to be upset and outraged about today. The reality of it, and there's too many people in this country who take themselves way too seriously. It's to the point, even on a regular, everyday, personal level, I don't even know how to deal with people anymore. Dave Chappelle doesn't know how to tell jokes. I don't know how to exist in certain circles. I don't know how to deal with people. I don't know how to go over someone's house and just chill out. I don't know how to meet new people. I don't know how to meet my girlfriend's friends. I don't know. I told her this. I struggle with that type of shit because I feel like all of her friends are, like, really sensitive and really self-aware and just very much into themselves and what you can and cannot say. And they live certain lifestyles. That's fine. I don't object to that. But, like, just being so self-aware and so sensitive, and I got to walk on eggshells when I'm around certain people. And I don't know what I can say and what I can't say. I don't know what kind of lifestyle certain people live. I don't know how seriously they take it. I don't know what to say. So a lot of times, if I'm around, if I'm out somewhere, I just don't say shit. especially if I'm around, you know, if I'm with my lady and her friends, her people in her circle, I don't want to offend them. I'm trying to get some head later on that night. So I'm not going to piss off her friends. I'm just going to be quiet. I just won't say anything. Because people, I don't know what I could say or what I might say that might be construed as being offensive. I don't know. I don't know what to say around people in regular everyday conversation. Unless I get a feel for that kind of person, unless if they say something off the cuff, that lets me know, all right, I can relax. I can be myself around these people. If they're talking some shit right off the bat, then I know, all right, cool. This is a motherfucker I can relate to, I can get down with. But if they come across a certain way, or if I just, you get that vibe early on from meeting somebody, it's like, all right, this motherfucker takes themselves very seriously. I gotta watch what I say. Now, I'll tell this story about an encounter with these type of people and people who just have these labels that they just live and die on, and you must refer to them as these labels. You must refer to them a certain way. You must acknowledge every single aspect of them that makes them who they are. All right, fine. A few years ago, I just moved out to the California Bay Area. I've been living in Oakland, California since 2016. When I first came out here by myself, didn't know anybody. Wanted to meet some people in particular, wanted to meet some black people because I'm black and I prefer to be around black people. Just saying. So I wanted to go out and I wanted to meet some black folks in the town, in Oakland, California, in the Bay, that I can meet with, develop relationships, friendships with, bond with, whatever. So I saw an ad for a Black Lives Matter meeting in downtown Oakland, California. And I decided what better place to go to meet other black people than a Black Lives Matter meeting. So I went to this meeting. I think it was on a Tuesday or Wednesday night. I go to this meeting, about 80 or 90 brothers and sisters in there, about two lost, wayward white people in there. I still don't know why they were there, but about 80 or 90 black folks in there. You know, it's cool at first, everybody bonding, whatever. Then we get to the official meeting, and the meeting starts off where everyone's supposed to go around the room, introduce themselves. And the way you introduce yourself is like this. You say what your first and last name is, where you're from, your birthplace, your hometown, and what pronouns you identify and want to identify as, or how you address people, whatever pronouns you address people with. So, for instance, you would say, my name is, I don't know, John Smith from Oakland, California, she, her, he, him pronouns, something along those lines. And me, I'm sitting there, I'm listening to people say these things going around the room. I'm confused. I'm befuddled. I'm dumbfounded. I'm like, who the fuck is she and who the fuck is him? Who are y'all talking about? Because every brother and sister in the room kept going around saying all this. Like, my name is Tyrone Jackson, Oakland, California, he, him pronouns. Like, who the fuck is him? And then it finally gets around to me. And I stood up in this room full of very much woke, very much self-aware, very much self-indulgent, arrogant black people. And I said, simply, my name is Dion Gordon from Frederick, Maryland, and I'm a black man. You could have heard a fucking pin drop. Once again, you could have heard a mouse pissing on cotton. Motherfuckers' jaws hit the floor. They're giving me all types of scowls, ice grills, whatever. They're looking at me crazy. Like I just took a shit on the floor. They're looking at me like I just, I don't know, threw a grenade at someone's baby. Like, it was fucking... The reaction that I got, the looks, the dirty looks I got, I thought somebody was going to run the fade on me. I thought somebody was going to beat my ass at this Black Lives Matter meeting. I thought this was all about peace, a place to come develop community with your fellow brothers and sisters. I stood up in this room full of black people and announced myself as a black man, and I got vilified for it. Put down their nose in me. These black folks was heated at me. No one talked to me. Throughout the whole meeting, there was like one older brother in there who like was on my side. He was like, man, I don't know what these motherfuckers be talking about every week either. So then salute to that old brother, whoever he was. He, you know, me and him chopped it up. But for the black people when they were around my age group in their 20s, 30s, and 40s, they wasn't too happy with me. They didn't say too much to me. So that was it. I didn't meet any new friends. I didn't establish any community. No relationships were formed that night. I just met a bunch of arrogant, uppity, super woke black people who look down their nose at a black man who announces himself as, wait for it, a black man. The horror. Clutch the pearls. A brother who announces that he's a brother from Frederick, Maryland. That's my born place. That's my hometown. Born and raised. No lies were told. My government name is Dion Gordon. I was born in Frederick, Maryland, and I'm a black-ass dude. The fuck? We live in a society full of people who don't want a black man to announce himself as being a black man. Those same people who are upset about that are upset about a fictional skunk who has rapist tendencies. Well, you know, I grew up watching Pepe Le Pew. I love Looney Tunes. I still watch Looney Tunes to this day. Pepe Le Pew does have some rape tendencies, though. He is creepy. He is the kind of guy that'll meet a woman in a dark garage late at night and follow her to her car. That's what Pepe Le Pew would do if he were a person. You know, I get it. But to say, I get it's in a children's film, but it's like, who really fucking cares? It's just Pepe Le Pew. It's just a fucking fictional skunk. Mr. Potato Head. We're really upset that he's called Mr. Potato Head. They gave him a Mrs. Potato Head. They filled a role for both. I understand people want representation. I get all that. Everyone wants representation nowadays. You want to see people who look like you. I get all that. There's one thing that representation is something to get. It's something else to get mad at other people who don't include you for whatever reason. It's something else to police other people's thoughts and opinions and tell them what they can and can't say or what children's toys they can and can't put out and how those toys have to look. I just wonder, with cancel culture, where do we draw the line? When do we stop? Because it's already outrageous as it is. We got people upset about kids' cartoons and Dr. Seuss books. Those books were fucked up. Those books were written like 50 or 60 years ago. And once again, it was a different time, it was a different era. You think back to like the 1970s, right? Three of the greatest TV sitcoms ever. Sanford and Son, All in the Family, Good Times. Some of the shit they said on those shows couldn't be on network television in 2021. These shows were, there was no cable in the 70s, so all these shows were network cable TV shows. You got Fred Sanford calling people honkies. You got Archie Bunker calling people gooks on TV, towel heads and things of that nature. You got Michael on Good Times talking about the jive honkies who tried to harass him at school or whatever. You know, using the word cracker and things like that. You can't say that type of shit anymore in 2021 on television. You can't say it anywhere. You can't say it even on a podcast. No matter what you say or what you do, somebody gonna hunt you down and try to condemn you for it. I don't understand it. People got way too much time on their hands. And like I said, I just wonder, where do we draw the line? Like, is someone gonna try to cancel the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air? Why does it have to be a prince? Why not a princess? Why do we have to assume the gender of the person filling that role? Why can't it just be the gender fluid Prince of Bel-Air? I mean, you can do this all day. You can retroactively go back and look at anything from 20, 30, 40 years ago and figure out a way to get pissed off about it. So where do we draw the line at? You know, I'm watching an episode of The Simpsons the other day, one of the greatest episodes ever, the episode where Homer created one of Homer's many jobs was his own snowplow business called Mr. Plow. And he had a very successful snowplow business during a storm that took place in Springfield. And I'm pretty sure if you went back and watched that, you could figure out a way to get upset about that. Mr. Plow, how about gender neutral, cisgender binary plow, who sometimes identifies as a cactus? It just rolls off the tongue, doesn't it? I mean, I don't know. The whole thing's just lunacy to me. And as I said earlier, it's on both sides. It's not just a super woke liberal left who's in a fucking craze about cancel culture and political correctness and being woke. It's people on the far right who are hypocritical about the situation, I would say. These people whine and complain about cancel culture, but they've been canceling people forever. In particular, they've been canceling black people, literally canceling black people. You want to talk about cancel culture? Black people's culture was literally canceled. And people on the conservative far right had no objections to that. White people in particular had no objections to that. I can think about the real victims of cancel culture. People lament about, even though I was just doing it playfully, you had people out here who were seriously upset about Pepe Le Pew being taken out of Space Jam, or Lola Bunny not being as hot as she was back in the day, or Mr. Potato Head. I just joke about it. You got people like really fucking pissed off about it. So to me, there's snowflakes on both sides. But to me personally, when I think about cancel culture, I think about Malcolm X, Fred Hampton, Martin Luther King. Those brothers were canceled. The FBI and J. Edgar Hoover in particular canceled those brothers permanently. They're no longer with us. Colin Kaepernick got canceled. Muhammad Ali was canceled back in the day. He had to give up his heavyweight championship belt that he never lost because he didn't want to go serve and fight in Vietnam. As Ali so eloquently stated, no Viet Cong ever called me nigger, so why would I go over there and fight? When that happened, guess what happened to Muhammad Ali? He got canceled. He got locked up. He got stripped of his title. He was canceled. Like I said, Colin Kaepernick took a knee during America's Racist theme song. Guess what white people did to Colin Kaepernick? They canceled him. So if we really want to have an honest conversation, because to me, I think it requires an honest, authentic conversation about what cancel culture is. I think it's a sophisticated and nuanced conversation if anyone wants to have it. But people only want to see it their way. people, like I said, on the far right will look at people on the far left and say, you guys are being a bunch of whiny snowflakes. But you guys have been canceling black people since the beginning of time. So once again, it's on both sides. And if anyone ever wants to have, you know, legitimate conversation about it, feel free. I'd be welcome to it. But we can't talk about cancel culture without talking about the people who've really been victimized by cancel culture, specifically black people. At the forefront of that, black people. So I think this conversation about cancel culture distracts us from what's really going on. The Democrats fumbling away $2,000 stimulus checks. I know we just got the $1,400 stimulus checks that's been approved now. But they also, eight Democrats voted against the $15 minimum wage. So you have like real substantive things going on in this country. But a lot of people have been distracted by, you know, Mr. Potato Head and Eminem's lyrics and Gina Carano's stupid comments and things like that. A lot of people have been distracted by this cancel culture conversation, and it's taking people's eyes and focus away from what's really going on in this country. And I think that's all by design. It's the way people want it, the people at the top, the powers that be. Instead of talking about the 22 people that were killed in Syrian airstrikes, people were just comment and banter and debate and argue about Space Jam and, you know, how the fictional cartoon characters are going to be portrayed in the movie. You know, at some point in this country, we have to get our sense of humor back. At some point in this country, we have to stop taking ourselves so seriously. It's one thing to advocate and demand your rights and your respect as a person, as a black person, as a gay person, however you identify yourself at. Everyone deserves to be respected. But you can joke about people, too. It's okay. It's okay to tell a harmless joke. It's not a condemnation of you and your identity and how you see yourself in any capacity. It's just a joke. If it's funny, that's the only rule of comedy. It has to be funny. You can say whatever you want to. It has to be funny. At least that's what I was always told. That's what I always thought, that there was only one rule in comedy, that you'd be funny. Now there's like a bunch of unwritten rules in comedy. You can't say this, you can't say that. And it's going to every other field of entertainment. It's going to everyday conversation that you have with people. It's just annoying. We have a very annoying culture right now, a very annoying society. Stop taking yourself so seriously. If you're the kind of person that gets deeply offended by old cartoons or children's books or what a rapper said or what a comedian said, if you're the kind of person that has your day ruined by someone making a joke about you or one of your friends that you didn't like, you thought was off color, poor taste, bad language, if this really upsets you to the point where you create a hashtag, cancel fill in the blank, and try to get it trending on social media and try to take away from someone's livelihood. If you're that kind of person, I have some simple, friendly advice for you. I want to paraphrase Eddie Murphy from Eddie Murphy Raw, where Eddie Murphy was telling the story about a phone conversation he was having with Richard Pryor in regards to Bill Cosby being outspoken about the colorful language and type of material that Eddie Murphy was using in stand-up comedy back in those days. Eddie Murphy said that Richard Pryor told him to go tell Bill Cosby to have a Coke and a smile and shut the fuck up. That would be the exact same advice I would give to anyone who was really that upset about children's cartoons, children's books, old Eminem lyrics, or the correct pronouns to refer to a fucking potato. If you're that kind of person, I would gladly tell you, unapologetically, directly, and as disrespectfully as possible, please have a Coke and a smile and shut the fuck up. You know, not everything has to be a goddamn crisis. Systemic racism, police brutality, the wealth inequalities in this country, those are real things to get upset about. Pepe Le Pew sexually assaulting Lola Bunny with an Acme-made dildo, that's not something to get upset about. That's just something to watch and laugh at. So this concludes this episode of the Dion Gordon Podcast. I hope you are deeply offended. Please have a Coke and a smile and shut the fuck up. And please continue listening to the Dion Gordon Podcast. Big thank you, big salute, much appreciation. Eternally humble, always grateful to anyone and everyone who listens to this podcast. Very grateful and very humble and very thankful as always. Much appreciation goes to the New York City Podcasting Network. Thank you for displaying my podcast on your platform, advertising for me, bringing me more viewers, more listeners, more exposure and everything else. So big salute to them. Appreciate the support from everyone else. Picture me rolling. I'm out.